Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube and podcast channel. We are back with another match preview. This week, we turn our attention to the home fixture against Tottenham Hotspur. I'm Scott. I'm your host for this one. And this week, I am joined by Daryl, Andy and Nickel. Before we jump into this preview, let's get a quick word from our sponsor. The Gallagher Shots match preview is brought to you by Magpin. Magpin are the go-to site for high-quality, unofficial enamel pin badges of Newcastle United players, legends and retro kits. For more information, visit their website at magpinbadges.bigcartel.com. Right, so as I mentioned, it is the match preview for the Spurs game. It's this coming Saturday, 13th of April, 12:30 p.m. kickoff. Early afternoon, yet again, at St. James's Park. And for those of us who can't get to it, it is live on TNT Sports. Spurs aren't doing too bad this season. They're fourth in the league. I think they've just leapfrogged Aston Villa as of, I think, last week. They're on 60 points. That's 18 wins, 6 draws and 7 defeats. They're on a plus 20 goal difference. That's 65 goals scored and 45 against. Quick maths. The last five are similar. A similar record to us, actually. It's 3 wins, 1 draw and 1 loss. And that's week by week, actually the same. We've won, they've won, we've drew, they've drew, etc., etc. Their wins come against Nottingham Forest, Luton and Aston Villa. Their draw came against West Ham and their defeat came against Fulham. So even similar teams, like it seems, we seem to be carbon copies at the minute. Wins are coming against different teams and draws coming against different teams, but similar results against similar teams. So this is probably going to be a ball fest of a 0-0 draw. But we'll preview it anyway. Before we jump into all the good stuff, I've got some commentator stats, things you'll normally hear read out during the match when it gets a bit boring. And as I've just said, it's going to be a boring game, so you'll probably hear lots of this during the game. As we all know, the last home fixture was far from a boring game. I think we scored 5 goals in 20 minutes. It was a 6-1 win. If we win this one, that'll be a consecutive home victory against Tottenham. And the last time we did that was actually a run of 4 games between April 2006 and December 2008. So, you know, another record to get under our belts. Tottenham away hasn't been great recently, though, this season. So haven't won their first 4, or won 4 of their first 6 Premier League away games and drawn 2 of them. They've only won 2 of the subsequent 9 on the road, and that's drawn 4 and losing 3. So they're not doing too good away of recent time. But they do like a goal at St. James's Park. Tottenham have scored at least once in each of their last 17 Premier League away games against Newcastle. That is their longest scoring streak away against any opponent in their league history. The last time they failed to score at St. James's was in the 4-0 loss in December 2003. However, Newcastle are one of only 2 teams to have scored 100% of their Premier League home games this season. Does anybody know the other team?
Man City.
Out there? No. Ooh. I'll give you a clue. We're doing a preview about them right now.
Oh, wow. Well, fair enough. Tottenham.
Well, yes, it is okay. Tottenham. Our current run of 16 consecutive home games is our longest since a run of 18 between September 2002 and August 2003.
So we've scored in every home game this season.
Every home game this season.
That's value for money there. There you go.
I know, yeah.
Value for money, yeah, wow. I know. So, yeah, so we have to, well, we don't have to score, but we do have to score because obviously we want to score. But, yeah, every home game this season has been at least one home goal. We haven't won them all, as we all know, but we've scored in every single one. According to the stats that I got, but I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty sure that's right.
Sounds about right, yeah.
That's on there. So, yeah, as long as we can get another one against Spurs, that record will continue, and if we can do it in the next few, we'll beat that long run of 18 between 2002 and 2003. So there you have it. There's some useless stats that you'll probably hear read throughout the match if you're not going to the game from the commentators, and it is BT, so you know what they're like. They will read out some pretty useless stats as well. That's enough from me, I think. Andy, mate, talk to us about what other fans have been thinking about this game. So what have some of the Tottenham fans been thinking? I'm assuming they're pretty confident because they're having a pretty decent season this year.
Yeah, they're certainly more confident than last season. I was watching a podcast before we came on and they said that they've already reached their points total from last season. That's how far they've come on this year under Ange, who's obviously the golden boy of the media.
Big Ange, mate,
as you have to say at the end of every sentence. But they're calling him a breath of fresh air, you know, complete revelation. He's completely coming in, just revolutionised the club. And he's probably one of the only managers in the entire league who you feel like everything he says is the truth in his interviews. Obviously, not entirely true about everything, because he probably would criticise some of his players if he was being completely true. But he comes in and he says, I'm here to win the league. I'm here to revolutionise Tottenham and make them a force globally. You can completely see them doing that. Fourth's definitely on for them this season. They've overtaken Villa, like you said. They gave Villa a hiding at Villa. Yeah. And they do genuinely seem like the best team outside of that title race at the moment. So lots of them to be positive about. One thing they have been saying in the video I was watching, it was they were talking about obviously the Forest game that they've just had. And they've called themselves Second Half FC because all of their games, they're just not scoring until the second half. So they came up with a stat, which I'm presuming is right because it's a Tottenham podcast. So I can't imagine they'd get their own stats wrong. But they said that 14 of the last 16 goals have been scored in the second half. So what they seem to be doing is, unlike the start of the season, they're very much just being a bit more conservative in the first half. And then they're putting the foot on the accelerator second half, which is, you could argue, the opposite of what we do. So slightly worrying in that regard. Just quickly, in terms of individual players, they've said Van de Ven is their player of the season by far this season. That new centre-half they've got, hard to argue with that really, because he's been absolutely mint. They've said James Maddison's been great, but recently teams have just been kicking lumps out of him and he's been getting annoyed. So you might remember in the Forest game, he did lash out and probably should have got a red card, but teams are getting under his skin a bit. They've said at their defensive midfield, they've been trying a partnership with Bissouma and Saar, but it's not working for them. So if there's a weakness in the team, it seems to be that. But they were saying, and I'm sure Nicol will go into this, that they'd much rather see Hjulberg and Bentancur come in there as well. They're like us in that they score all the time but concede all the time, so only one clean sheet in the last 12. I'm pretty certain that's going to be similar to our record of keeping clean sheets. And just the last thing, when you look at their run-in, this game's absolutely massive for them. They probably have the hardest run-in of any team in the league. And coming towards a team who's very, very inconsistent and vulnerable, obviously shipping goals, they're going to see this as a big opportunity, I reckon.
Yeah. I mean, Daryl, we did think this last season. We saw the Spurs game last season as kind of this could be the one that trips us up. You know, similar point of the season. We had a lot to play for. Spurs were the ones chasing us. And it didn't really turn out that way, did it?
No, it didn't turn out too well for Spurs, did it? I mean, I think if you remember, right, in the build-up to that game and with it being on TV as well, the hype was all about how Spurs were going to come up here and do the job and you know, and they were going to chase us down and overtake us and finish ahead of us in the league. And Well, we all know how that panned out. And obviously, you mentioned earlier, that game was over inside 9 minutes with the three early goals. Probably one of our best performances of last season in that game.
Ever.
You know, I mean, everybody still... yeah. Well, ever, yeah. I mean, everybody still has that look of disbelief that Jacob Murphy had on his face after he scored the third and his second. And, you know, we absolutely blitzed them in that game. And I don't think they could expected... I don't think they were expecting what was coming. And we're very much not the same side at present because of everything that we've got going on at the minute. But again, it's home advantage. It's you know, the crowd will be behind the boys and it'll be up to us to put in a performance. And it also, they sort of exacted a little bit of revenge against us in the reverse fixture back in December when they beat us 4-1 at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I was there for that game. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't the best game.
If I remember rightly, it was the worst weather at...
Yeah, no, that was the season before when we had the monsoon at halftime.
Right.
We won that game. Yeah, I mean, that was the day that half the crowd couldn't get there because there was a major issue on the railway. And yeah, I ended up somehow getting into a taxi and getting myself there in time for the game. But it was actually, that game came, it was the middle game of a run of three that sadly saw the end of our Champions League campaign because the game after was the home game against AC Milan. And it was also at that point in the season, it was our third successive away defeat at the time, which was the first time that had happened, I think, in about 2 years prior. So, you know, it's, you mentioned before, Spurs do get a goal against us in games, and they have failed to score against us for, like, they haven't, you know, it hasn't been done for a long time. But, you know, it's going to be one of those, and I think, you know, I'll bring this up now. I was going to save it till later, but when you look at Spurs' record at St James's Park in the Premier League, it's actually one of the most played games in Premier League, especially when, I think, obviously, like, every time we've been up in the division, we have to account into missing season one and obviously the two relegations since. But every time we've been in the Premier League, this game has been played. So there's 29 games played, 14 Newcastle wins, 6 draws and 9 losses at St James's. So it's still relatively in our favour. And as you mentioned, you gave it a bit of a hint earlier, there's been some very big, seen some of our biggest wins in the league against Spurs. You know, there was last season 6-1, there was a 7-1 back in 1997, there was a 5-1 in there, obviously, in the last game when we were relegated under Rafa. And there was a 4-0 that you mentioned, which was the last time they failed to score at St James's. And there was also a 6-1 win in the FA Cup as well, back in the around about the millennium time. So some of our best performances come against Spurs at St James's, so it'll be interesting. Again, we've mentioned, I don't want to delve into it too soon, but we are not the same team at the minute, so it's going to be interesting to see how we line up.
We're not the same team, and you know, I think I've seen something just before we're going on air on one of the news channels that I think it's 8 players are going to be missing from the lineup for Newcastle to what played in that 6-1 win last season. So with that in mind, Nicol, obviously you're going to look at some key matchups.
Yeah,
this has probably been tough for you to compare players, but have at it, mate. Good luck.
Yeah, well, I had a look at sort of the last, you know, how the two teams last lined up. So for us, we're looking at obviously Dubravka in goal. Right back, I have got a bit of a question mark because there's a possibility that Tino could come back, but we're obviously doing this before Eddie Howe's press conference, so
not that that would make a difference with what he says anyway.
we're looking at either probably Kraft, but maybe Tino at right back. Centre back pairing of Shaw and Byrne, which has obviously been working quite well recently. Lewis Hall left back, probably continue. He's running the team and he's doing pretty well. Midfield three is, well, picks itself because there's not more than three fit. So Bruno Longstaff and Elliot Anderson, who again did well last week at Fulham. And then the front three is probably going to be looking like Anthony Gordon, Alexander Isak, and then the other side's got a bit of a question mark on it because it could be Harvey Barnes, it could be Jacob Murphy. Is Miggy going to be back in time? We obviously don't know that as well. So we can predict most of the Newcastle lineup, I'm pretty sure. As for Spurs, they'll likely have Vicario in goal, the Italian. The back four will be Porro, Romero, Van de Ven, who you mentioned earlier, who's doing well for them. Udogi at left back. The centre of midfield pairing could be Bissouma and Sarr, or as you said, they might switch it up with Bentancur and Højbjerg. And then in the wings, it's, you know, looking at Werner and Brendan Johnson with Maddison and Son. And I think in terms of key matchups, I think that midfield area is going to be the main battle. I think, you know, when you look at our issues this season, a lot of it has been the opposition's number 10 and picking them up. So I think making sure that we pick up Maddison is going to be a strong point. They've got a pretty fluid front sort of four. They don't have one striker. I know Richarlison may be back for this game, but he's unlikely to start if he's just coming back. They're likely to have that fluid front four. So it's going to have to be important to be able to pick them up. And I think for both teams, the wings will be a really important area. I think, although he hasn't scored loads and assisted loads, I think Timo Werner's been... I watched him last Sunday and I thought he was pretty good. And Brendan Johnson's got a few goals this season. He's got 5 goals and 7 assists. And obviously Son's their main threat, so we're going to have to keep him quiet. And then in terms of how we could maybe hurt them, I do think down the wings as well. I think are their wingers going to want to track back as much? And we've also said that Spurs, you know, concede a lot of goals, as do we. So I think the wings for us is going to be a key area in using that pace up front.
One thing they did say, by the way, the Spurs lads, is they said that Udogi, who obviously plays left back, they said they all love him because he's a young lad and he's doing really well, but they said he switches off constantly. So when we're talking about our front three, we had the debate last week about, does Gordon go on the right? I think against Udogi, you think maybe that's an area to hurt them. And they did comment on Werner as well, saying he's very good at the things he's very good at and he's very bad at the things he's very bad at. And I said he's just... But in terms of like the way Postecoglou wants to play, he's almost like a bit of an Almiron for them, where he can just sprint around and make himself busy. And the only way he's going to score a goal is by hitting off his backside and in off the post and stuff like that. But for what he needs for that team, he's in a much better place than when he was at Chelsea, when he was expected to be like Henry.
He's not a finisher, is he? But when I've watched him, he's pretty good at carrying the ball and getting it full back, putting crosses in for Son and Maddison.
He'd probably be good in our team, someone like that.
Yeah. You've got Porro as well. I mean, you know, I from an FPL standpoint, I've had him in my side and he's always getting assists and goals for a defender.
It's
a dream
week.
For an FPL. Yeah, he got one last week. And I think I remember reading somewhere he's got one of the most attempted assists in the league. For a defender. So, you know, it's him and Trippier who are up there with the assists when it comes to the defence. So you've got to watch him when it comes to that. So they've got all over the field players who are, you know, I hate to use the term playmaker, but that's what they are. They're the players who want to get on the ball and you know, get the ball in the box for the attack. And Daryl, you know, we've talked about Richarlison 50-50. They have got some other injuries. You know, they're a bit more long-term though. Mm-hmm. You're looking at Fraser Foster, Ryan Sessegnon, Manus Solomon. I think they've all been out since February. So, you know, they haven't. I think they've had bad injuries, but I think they're over their injury crisis, if you want to call it that, unlike us. And obviously, we saw, and we'll turn our attention a little bit to Newcastle now. We obviously saw another player go down at the weekend in Joe Willock, which, you know, he's only just come back. It's nice to see. You kind of feel he'd be perfect for this game and a player that you'd probably want in this game.
Absolutely. I mean, we all know that, you know, we've just talked about all the technical ability of the Spurs players and those that they have who can carry the ball. Well, Joe Willock is our ball carrier. And, you know, it's actually quite interesting because there's so many similarities between him and Anderson. Anderson, I thought, did really well against... Who did he come on against? Was it... Even against Chelsea, and he came on and him and Gordon were linking up really well. Very impressed with the pair of them and the work they were putting in. So with any luck, we'll be able to just bring Anderson in as his direct replacement if Joe Willock isn't going to make a start. And again, we'll have to find out what Eddie says about that, because I think, is it just a case of he's just pushing himself too far coming back from the injury that he had, Joe Willock, or is it another underlying issue that's going to take something to solve? Again, I think you have to call it a crisis because it's the volume of the injuries that we have.
Stop.
And it's it's really going to hinder us, and it is hindering us right now. And I think, again, when it comes to the game on Saturday, it's going to be a problem. I'm actually quite fearful of that front four of Spurs, because every name that you read out on that front four screams pace. And with our back line, it's not got a lot of pace in it. But maybe it's with the exception of Lewis Hall, but when you look at the two centre-backs and obviously Kraft at right-back, they're not blessed with the
best. I don't think Hall is that fast from what we've seen of him. Mm. I don't think he's that as quick. I think we thought he would be quick, but I don't think he is particularly.
He's probably the quickest of the four that'll be playing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He's got 70 pace. Everyone else has got 40.
Yeah. And, you know, again, you're looking at midfield. It's not just the injuries that are a problem. It's potential suspensions. Now, we know that Gordon's going to be safe now because he's still two cards off getting a ban. So unless he repeats his feats at West Ham, that's going to be, should be all right. Bruno, this is the last game before the 32 game cutoff point. So this is his last one that he just doesn't have to get into any bother with.
It's going to happen, isn't it? It's going to happen.
Well,
or he's going to get injured.
Well,
he's going to get injured for 2 weeks.
God forbid that happened. But I've got a little question for you here, boys. Right? So it's
life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Perfect that we're talking about Anthony Gordon there as well. So he got the two yellows against West Ham, which obviously leads to a red for a one-game ban. So if Bruno gets booked on Saturday...
I know he's
going to ask. He knows what's coming. So... let's just play devil's advocate. Bruno gets booked at night in the first half, and then you get towards the end of the second half. Do you encourage Bruno to get a second yellow to get the red, which means he's only out for one game rather than two?
It totally depends on where the game is. If the game's gone, maybe.
Yeah. But if
it's Palace after this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, it's... Yeah, but Bruno's so important to us, isn't he? We don't win when Bruno doesn't play.
Yeah, that'd be the eighth game he'd miss.
Mm-hmm.
Or could be the eighth or ninth. Yeah. I feel like they've made an example of him and give him too much ban anyway.
Well, that's the thing, because not only does he run the risk of doing something just to get a second yellow, if he does something to try and do that and it's actually a little bit more serious, it could be a straight red.
Get a 5-game ban.
It would just be three, but it's still an extra game. So you either try and get for the one or you end up with three. You know, it's a devil's advocate thing. But he could just
If James Maddison can punch someone in the chest and get nothing done about it, I think we'd get Bruno at two foot someone and be all right about it.
In an ideal world, he does what he's been doing over the last few games.
Exactly. He just doesn't. Yeah.
Because he's been really good at that, to be fair.
And it's
amazing.
Yeah. I just wanted to touch on Joe Willock. You were talking about him there. It's a shame he's not. It's a shame he's not playing, because I'm sure we all remember that ball with the outside of his foot.
Let's go back to that game.
When he was on that scoring run, he scored against Spurs as well. It was the Easter weekend when it was in lockdown. He just always seems to up his game against Spurs, being a former Arsenal player. So it's a shame he's probably not going to play as well.
Well, we don't know, actually, because like you said, it's before Eddie Howe's press conference, so we don't know how severe Willock coming off was. And obviously we saw Hall come off again with cramp. So it'd be nice if Hall does start to see him, maybe he's, you know, finish a 90-minute game and not having to rely on Paul Dummett or Matt Ritchie to come on and finish
imagine
the game.
Imagine Paul Dummett against one of them four on that side of the pitch. It'd be terrifying.
Imagine Paul Dummett against anyone.
There'd be no imagination needed, Andy.
I know.
You know, obviously, the other talking point, and Nicol's touching it a little bit, is the front three. And, you know, is Harvey Barnes fit enough to start a game now? Because I think, you know, we've seen Jacob Murphy in the past few games. He seems to be lacking a bit of confidence, Andy. He doesn't seem to be the Jacob Murphy. And I think this has come back from his injury. He hasn't come back the same Jacob Murphy that left when he was injured. Don't know what it is. And I've always said Jacob Murphy does seem to thrive on confidence, and he seems to be lacking it a little bit, and he just doesn't seem to be wanting to put challenges in. Yes, he's got a couple of assists, and yes, he's put a few decent balls in, but we need more from a player than that, because he's not been putting in the challenges that he's been needed to, especially not when he's been covering it right back. And you need that from a right back to put in those challenges. So, you know, if Tino or Trippier is back, which, you know, we're hoping one of the two might be, or we've, you know, we've got Kraft, at least who can play, although I think, did he not come off? I've lost count now, the amount of players who've come off and went off injured in the last games. But, you know, if we've got adequate cover at right back, do you risk Gordon on the right and then bringing in Harvey Barnes, or do you keep it as is? Do you think Eddie Howe, you know, he's a man of habit. Do you think he just wants to, you know, maybe use Harvey Barnes as more of an impact? The game's, you know, not got away from it, but maybe if we're only 1-0, one goal to the, you know, to the sword, and we can actually, you know, get a result from this game, you'll bring Harvey Barnes on as more of an impact sub. I've used that impact sub word again, by the way, but I think Harvey Barnes is more of an impact sub than Dan Burn.
I think Murphy is, he's obviously suffered from this ailment that all the players have, which is obviously being forced to come back too early. And they're also desperate to play. We're reading between the lines of everything that gets said about these players like Willock, if there's a 50-50 and they ask the player how they feel, they're always saying they're all right, even though they clearly aren't. And obviously we know with Murphy, he played when he still had a dislocated shoulder. That's how desperate they all are to play. But it's good to see that they're all so in it together that they're willing to keep playing through injury. I mean, Shares another example where his limbs are just falling to bits and he's just dragging us through games. You've got to love him for it. But with Murphy, I think he had a little purple patch similar to Almiron last season. Obviously, it peaked with that Spurs game last year when he scored that worldie, and he had a couple of nice games where he was, you know, being really direct and being really positive. I think it's maybe a mix of the fact that he's not 100%, but also that the remainder of the right-hand side is just quite poor at the moment. We said last week when the right-hand side was Murphy, Longstaff and Kraft, it's just devoid of any technical ability or creativity, with complete respect to them. Kraft is a sort of traditional full-back. He's not really a sort of wing-back or an attacking full-back. And Longstaff's obviously a workhorse who's a bit limited technically as well. So I think when you're relying on Murphy to be the guy to do it, he is forced to just take long shots and whip crosses in, because I think he needs the players around him. So I think if Trippier is... If Livramento's back, and when eventually Trippier's back, I'd be more inclined to keep Gordon out on the left and play Murphy. And then you've got Harvey Barnes as an impact sub, a la Dan Burn. So we'll have to see. But I think we touched on it before, but I think in the future, I think Barnes, Isak, Gordon as a front three is going to be the way we go, with the option of putting Gordon out on the left or Joe Linton out on the left, remember him. I don't mind either way. I do trust Murphy tactically, and I think he is quite good defensively. But I think if we're trying to break down this Spurs team, who obviously Van de Ven plays as the left centre-back, you arguably want someone with a bit more creativity behind them.
Yeah. Or Yakubu Minty. We'll have him next season. No, well, I think he might go out on another loan next season. But that's a different conversation for a different podcast. Daryl, mate, Nick Pope, is it too soon? Do you think we'll see him at all? Do you think it's with we're pie in the sky dreams for him? Do you think it's going to be Dubravka and Gillespie and Karius on the bench?
Do you reckon Shaka Hislop's going to play this week, Daryl?
I think it's just still a bit too early for Nick Pope. You know, Eddie did mention in the press conference before Fulham that he is back on the grass, but he's not quite back into his full goalkeeper training regime just yet. He's doing some work, but I think he hadn't started doing these. He's just starting to do some proper, like, to make saves and stuff like that. But I still think, again, we saw what happened with Jacob Murphy, especially in the position of goalkeeper. Yeah, shoulder's got to be, like, pretty much spot on before you even think about bringing him back into the team. So, yeah, definitely continuing with Dubravka, Karius and Gillespie for me, I think.
If you wear one of them American football shoulder pads with the airbags built in, every time he dives, he'll be landing on a big airbag.
At least got a clean sheet last week, so it's a bit of confidence.
Yeah, he did.
Something to build on, absolutely.
Been a while.
And he seems to be getting back to his former self as Dubravka. And I know he's been getting a lot of stick, but I think having Dan Burn and Shaw being in the form that they're in at the moment is kind of complimenting Dubravka a little bit and helping him kind of get his confidence up a little bit, which is nice to see. I think there's only one more thing to do before predictions. I think we all know what's coming.
It's everybody's
favorite feature. Daryl, does he have hair or is he bald? No, it's time for Ref Watch. Time for Ref Watch. But that is an important question, and I think you know the answer as well, so you can let us know. But yes, who is the person you can't even say in black anymore because they don't wear black. Like, no. Who is the
sky blue all the time now?
The person in charge.
Right. So
this week.
Yes. And now, if we remember back, because the last game that he did was this one, if we remember back about 4 or 5 weeks to the Wolves preview, we talked about him then, and I think he does have hair. So, well, I'm fairly confident he does have hair. So, referee for this game will be Tim Robinson, who is from West Sussex. His fourth game of the season with Newcastle United. Obviously, we've seen him recently for the 3-0 win at home to Wolves, and that followed on from the 4-0 home win against Palace, and the 3-0 loss away at Everton. So when it comes to Newcastle United games, when it comes to St James's, we do quite well. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. I think it's probably a good omen so far. So we'll see. And then his record for the season. So he was on 16 games refereed since we saw him against Wolves. That's now gone up to 18 games refereed. 81 yellow cards, no reds. So If we do get that predicament with Bruno at some point in this game, it may have to be his first one of the season. We'll see.
I'm just picturing it like, is it like in the 90th minute where Bruno keeps just kicking the ball away, then running after it and kicking it away again, be like, come on, ref.
Come on again. Him into a decision.
Like a Chun-Li bicycle kick for someone.
And to add to that, VAR is not Jared Gillett, thank God.
Boo.
It's Stuart Atwell. So I can't remember the last time we saw Stuart Atwell for a game, but it's Stuart Atwell for this one.
Oh. Well, there you have it. Not that you'll see him anyway, because he'll be in Stotley Park, so you won't even hear him. They don't do the voice.
Showing them sometimes on the screens, haven't they? They have been sometimes showing the VAR vans.
Oh, have they been doing it now? Yeah, BT.
The camera beam to the room, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Show them like on their iPads, not even watching the game.
Ordering a chair
on the EastEnders omnibus.
Yeah,
does this still do the omnibus? I don't know. I don't watch EastEnders anymore. Probably. It's on a Sunday anyway. The match is on Saturday anyway. Right, we'll come to our predictions. Nickel mate, let's start with you. I think you're going to go. I think you've already given us a little preview of what you're going to go for. But obviously, people listening won't know this. So, surprise me. What are you going for?
Yeah, well, just going to start off by saying that statistically, half 12 kickoffs are actually our worst. But I'm still going to go.
Cheers, mate.
Don't worry. We remember the last 12:30 kickoff at home, and how good was that? So
I remember that one. I was there. West Ham.
I'm going to go for Newcastle United 3, Tottenham Hotspur 2. There's going to be goals.
Have another one of them.
Oh God! I don't think I'm going to take it. I can't take another one.
Cardiologist on standby.
All we spoke about is about how many goals each team like concedes, and you know, the attacking prowess that's going to be on display. Yeah, I think there's going to be goals, and I think we're going to come on the right side. I think the home advantage will just see us through.
Nice one. Yeah, get the defibrillators all around the ground, I think, for this one. Andy, mate, what are you going for?
I don't think I can be as positive as that. I'm worried. I'm a bit worried about this one. I can't lie. You know, you just have a feeling in the pit of your stomach that we're on the telly. There's the narrative that BT is going to be spinning. Sorry, TNT is going to be spinning is revenge for last time. Spurs trying to get in the Champions League, blah, blah, blah. Everything I've seen points towards having a really strong start and Spurs just coming into their own second half. So I actually think we'll go into half time in the lead. But I think we'll lose it 2-1. That's like weirdly low scoring for this season based on the two teams. But I don't think my heart can take what Nichols just said there. I can't deal with another Luton or another one of these ridiculous games. But I just think it's going to be it'll be a promising performance, but I think it'll just be energy levels and fatigue and subs making the difference. And we've seen that Spurs second half, when they put the foot down, they'll blitz through anyone. But I did say this for the Fulham game. It could be one of them where I said for Fulham, I didn't think we'd have enough in the tank to keep the win. It could be the flip side this time where we're actually holding on at 1-1 and we actually keep the point. So I think I actually think it'll be pretty close. But I think they might have too much for us, I'm afraid.
Cool. Darryl, sorry. Mate, what are you going for?
Well,
pick it back up, please.
I can't pick it back up because I totally agree with you, Andy. I think exactly the same. Yeah, I do worry about that Spurs front four, and I think that in the second half, as we begin to tire and we're unable to really make any impactful decisions or substitutions from the bench, I should say, our limited options will come to bite us on the backside. And I think Spurs will just end up running riot against us. Not necessarily to the point of absolutely steamrolling, but I think it'll have too much in it for our back line, and they'll be able to break us more than we'll be able to break them in the second half. And I think it'll play out exactly the way Andy has said as well. I think we'll probably go in ahead at half time, and it'll be a case of just trying to hold on to the lead, and then, you know, you'll end up seeing it go back to an equaliser, and then again, they'll just be able, they have the talent and the resource to just be able to make the changes and still play the same way. And this Ange Ball theory that's going around, it'll probably just be too much for us with our limited resources at the minute.
So what's your prediction? You want to give a score of you?
Agreed with Andy, 2-1. 2-1 to Spurs.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for a score. Did you
say numbers? Score, though. Where's I'll the numbers? Score. I'll give you a score, right.
Well, I'm going to pick up a little bit because I actually think we might get a result from this one. I think it's going to be an early sending off. I think Spurs are going to want it too much, and I think they're going to go in a bit too heavy-handed. I think we saw it a little bit at the weekend. I think that they were maybe a bit too trying at times. And I think we've seen that our shithousery is coming back a little bit, and I think we can wind up some of the wrong players.
Do you think we'll have another tactical injury from the keeper and a full team talk 20 minutes in again?
I think something like that might happen, but I think we can get under their skin a little bit, and I think the crowd will play a big part in that. So I can picture, I'm not saying who it'll be because I have no idea, but I think it'll be an early event or an early sending off, something like that will just nullify Spurs a little bit. And I'm going to go for a 2-0 win. I think we'll keep another clean sheet.
Clean sheet?
Yeah, clean sheet. I'm going for it. Wow. I maybe call it.
You've lost
mad.
Your senses in your absence.
I've been away for 3 weeks. I'm going for it. I think it's going to be an Isak Brace. I'm going for everything. Yeah, why not? 2-0. Two goals in the second half. Early sending off for Spurs. Yeah, I'm going to even put the lottery on at the weekend. Why not? Eh? We'll see what happens. Why the hell not? 2-0, and we'll let Villa have Champions League football next season. Why the hell not? I mean, they've got to do it as well, but you know, they've got to actually get the points on the board. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, 2-0 is my prediction. Let us know in the comments below what you think. Are we talking a lot of codswallop? I'm probably going to get loads of stick from Spurs fans. I don't care. Bring it on. Do you agree with what we've said? Do you disagree with what we've said? Let us know in the comments below. Let us know your predictions in the comments below as well. While you're down there, hit the little thumbs up button. This helps this video get into the feeds of other Newcastle and Spurs fans. Please be gentle. No, whatever. While you're down there as well, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell. That gets you notifications of other videos going live on this channel. We've got some new stuff planned with some kit stuff being planned. Maybe some little sneaky peeks of what's coming. I don't know. Depends how much we can or cannot say. But also, All Smiling Faces podcast coming up, as well as some other goodness coming your way. If you want to go one step further, we do have a membership program. It's $2.99 a month. That gets you early access to videos just like this one right here, as well as exclusive access to some content like all the Mark versus Decker stuff. You get all that early, and you get some of the stuff that you don't get for not being a member. So $2.99 a month gets you access to all of that, as well as access to the Telegram group and the Discord server. I know Chris is looking at doing a FIFA EA Sports tournament playoffs thing on FIFA for members only, that he's going to live stream at some point when we get time. So keep an eye out for all that if you are a member. And if you want to get more info, $2.99 a month, like I said, membership. More information, scroll down from this video. If you're listening on the audio channels, all we ask is for is a 5-star rating or whatever the top rating is on whatever it is you're listening on. But yeah, it's good to be back. Let's see if we can get that 2-0 win or 2-1. I'll take what Nickel predicted as well. Daryl, Andy, you're not welcome back next week. You've put it down right now. Yes, of course, you're always welcome back. But thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Lars, for joining us. It's good to be finally back. Let's go and get another victory. and get closer. Oh, in fact, we'll leapfrog Man U, won't we, if we win this one, I think, don't we? We go up above them because we've got a very good goal difference and we're adding two to that total. We'll see you all in the next one. See you later.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Podcast Network.